Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 38, Break It Up. Let's talk about breaking up your long run. And by that, I mean the customary once weekly long run. Logically, most people do the long run in one piece, which of course makes sense. But there's no reason why you can't break it up, at least some of the time. Now, I would even argue that this is a good idea. Now, I know what you're saying to yourself. Well, doesn't that defeat the purpose? If you break it up, it's two runs, not one long run. Yes, I get that. But the point is that breaking your long run into two shorter runs of equal or slightly longer mileage and doing them within a 24 to 26 hour period is virtually the same thing, but it may have many benefits. I encourage you to break it up sometimes, and I think that is actually beneficial to your training in some cases. In this podcast, I'll explain why this might be advantageous and how you might want to do it. Lately, I've come to believe that too many people and too many training plans stipulate an unnecessary number of long runs. Of course, this is all relative to your experience and fitness, but I do want to throw out some ideas for you to consider. Don't get me wrong, I very much believe all runners should do one run per week that is longer than the rest, usually considerably longer. But when it comes to half marathon and marathon training, and when we're talking about runs in excess of 16 miles, in some cases, the law of diminishing return may kick in. Perhaps most important is that if you are an average runner, say running, let's say 11 minutes per mile for that long run, then if you do a 20-mile long run during marathon training, it'll take you 3 hours and 40 minutes. That's a long time to be out there and puts a lot of stress on the body in many ways. Many marathon training plans, especially plans that were designed years ago, may be designed for people who would be running much faster. So even if they say they're for first-time marathoners, they may not be appropriate for everyone. Consider that over the last 20 years, the demographic of the average marathoner or half marathoner has changed tremendously. It's no longer an event reserved for elite, super fit runners. Fortunately, the populace has realized that with sufficient training, virtually anyone can do a half or full marathon. But often people doing their first marathon or half have only been running a year or so, and if not ever, had a base larger than 30 miles. By contrast to the example above, consider that a person averaging 8.5 minute miles or 8.5 minutes per mile would do 20 miles in just 2 hours and 50 minutes and is likely carrying less weight. The 20 miles then is much less taxing on this person's body. And if the person is running at that pace, that person has probably been running for many years and has customarily come to the marathon from a much larger mileage base. Now, there are two ways of looking at this. One is that being out there for 4 hours, because it is much more taxing, will require longer recovery and will result in greatly increased risk of injury. So, this would tend to suggest that it's a bad idea to do a 4-hour training run to get in a 20-mile run in preparation for the marathon. However, the other factor is that this same person on race day, at this same pace, will be out there well over 5 hours. And that's not all. Depending on the marathon, that person may be out there, likely will be out there on race day, on their feet, for at least an hour before the race and for at least a minimum of 20 minutes after the race. That's a total of over 6.5 hours. In order to be prepared for that, the person may feel the need for at least one training run then that does require around 4 hours in order to more closely simulate race day. For that reason, I think it is reasonable to do one run of 20 miles. But to do this multiple times may not be a good idea, especially for the first-time marathoner, and probably is not necessary, at least for people who are newer to the marathon distance. There's a fine line between being ready for the race and risking injury or overtraining, and not having enough time for the body to be recovered before the goal race. That said, my first-time marathoners are vehement that they need to do a 20-mile run to know they will be able to finish a 26-mile marathon. And I've had people training for half marathons say they absolutely must complete the full distance in training in order to be mentally prepared for their first marathon. As long as they have time, in other words, as long as they start training far enough out from their goal race and increase their mileage at an appropriately gradual rate, I'm okay with this. Let's face it, it's as much mental as physical. 20 seems to be the definitive number for first-time marathoners. If they can do 20 in training, they have the confidence needed heading into their race. Now, I'm not just aiming this podcast at half marathoners and marathoners. I advise even people training for 15Ks, 10Ks, and yes, even 5Ks to do one long run a week. It will greatly benefit all runners preparing for any distance to work up to a long run distance that's at least half again the distance of the race they're training for. And for the shorter the goal and the shorter the goal race, the more realistic it is to work up to a long run of double or triple that distance, which I strongly advise. Of course, this won't really particularly work for the marathon runner because you certainly wouldn't want to do a long run that's double or triple that or half again that. But I'm talking about shorter races here. So for that reason, this discussion would be worthwhile for any runner. That's my point. Now, there are many ways to break up a long run. You might divide it up into two runs in one day, or you might do a run on both Saturday and Sunday that are both longer than your weekday runs, or do two runs on one day and one on the other. Maybe, say you did 15 miles for the first time last weekend, and this coming weekend you're scheduled to do 15 again before dropping back for a fallback week. I suggest breaking up that 15 miles the first time, maybe by doing 5 on Saturday before doing 10 on Sunday. An even better idea, I think, is to do 6 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday. The reason being that since you're making it easier by doing it in two parts, you can get in an extra mile. Then, the next weekend, you'll be more ready to tackle 15 in one long run. Many traditional training schedules could be modified this way. Already, if you have built a fallback week into your schedule, you're making it easier for your body to adjust to the longer run distances. The addition of this method I just mentioned of breaking up your first run of a certain distance is just an added way of helping your body and mind make the adjustments. And don't be put off by the fact that I use the word easier. There's nothing easy about training for a marathon or half marathon for that matter. I do think that before any marathon, you do want to get in one 16 to 20 mile unbroken run, though, even if it's largely just to gain mental confidence. And before a half, I would always say you should get in at least a single 10-mile run. A consideration here is that you have to be sure you've got your fueling plan perfected. You can't guess on this. You've just got to experiment during your training runs in the weeks before the race. You've got to be doing a long run to find out what will work on a long run. So, just be smart. My purpose in this podcast is to just get you to open up your mind to consider how breaking up your long run might be a good idea at times, and to get you to realize it is worth incorporating into your training, and that if you do, there are actually some benefits to doing so. Additionally, I see some people who actually get too rigid in their training, risking injury because they're so stuck on not wavering from their schedule. I want those people to be flexible because sometimes it just makes sense. If you're in marathon training and you start to have some vague discomfort or even a slight pain in your foot or knee or hip or whatever, and you're several days out from a long run, then this might be the perfect time to consider breaking up that run, just as a precaution, to lower the intensity. Why? Because if that vague pain turns into a stress fracture or something else similarly serious, you'll have to say goodbye to your goal race, the race for which you've been preparing for months. Let's talk about other reasons you might want or need to break up your long run and how you might do it. One reason would be because sometimes your life gets in the way, and breaking it up may be the only way to get in the miles. Maybe your son has a swim meet Saturday morning, your daughter has a soccer match at 2, and you're having your parents over to celebrate your mom's birthday that evening. But you also need to get in 18 miles that day. Assuming your Sunday is equally busy and you can't switch it to Sunday, what do? Break it up. That's right. You go out at 5:30 a.m. and run 15 miles before your son's swim meet. Then, at 4, you head back out for another 3 miles. Is that ideal? Probably not. But your body doesn't really care. Not much, anyway. And there are actually some advantages besides the obvious one, which is that it can work with your hectic schedule. Could you do it the other way around? 3 early, then 15 later in the day? Sure. How about 9 and 9? Yep, that's fine too. Just get in the number of miles on your schedule. It's not ideal. Much better to be able to carefully plan it out. But sometimes your life just doesn't allow for ideal. When you're a runner, trying to include a run in your schedule almost every day, you have to be flexible. If you wait for ideal, you're going to miss out on a lot of runs, and that's just a fact of life. And here's another situation. What if you're not quite 100% physically? Let's say you've had a cold, or you still have a cold, but you really need to get in your miles. The rule of thumb here, by the way, is not to run if your cold goes into your chest, if it's below your neck, or if you're running a fever. But let's assume that your cold is just a head cold and you have no fever. Then breaking up your long run will be less stressful, but you can still get in the miles. Here's another scenario. Recently, I was out of running for 3 long, long months due to a stress fracture. Now, stress fractures don't take nearly that long to heal. But this time, it took the doctors a very long time to diagnose my problem. And in the meantime, they kept telling me it was okay to go back out and try running again. Of course, each time I did, it set back the healing process. Anyway, by the time it had been long enough that the bone was healed, the problem was that I was just 5 weeks away from my goal marathon. And, of course, that needed to include some sort of taper. A situation like this is complicated. And for most people, my advice would be just to postpone the race. But that was not an option for me. I had arranged the whole trip, and there was a group of, I think it was 20 people from my club that was going. So I needed to be there no matter what. The people that I was coaching were going. We all had been planning it for months and months. There was no way I could not be at that race. My stress fracture was totally healed, but the rest of my body was not able to jump back into high mileage. During that 5-week period, I struggled with plantar fasciitis and other minor injuries. None serious, but that was only because I managed them well and backed off for several days each time. It has been only a little over a year since my chronic plantar fasciitis was finally healed, and I did not want to let it get out of control again. Anyway, it was a challenge because while my cardio was not compromised because I had been doing rather intense workouts on the Ultra G treadmill, plus biking and swimming, I had not been doing weight-bearing exercise, which meant my body was in an unusually precarious situation. So my solution was to break up my long runs. For example, one weekend I did 10 Saturday morning, 7 Saturday night, and 4 the next morning, giving me a total of 21 miles in a 24-hour period. That was my longest mileage prior to the race, and the race, in fact, went very well, extremely well, I thought, given the circumstances. Of course, my time of 4 hours and 52 minutes was far off what it normally would be. But after all that time out from running, I was more than satisfied. In fact, if I had had a good time for me, then it would have disproved all the things I hold to be true about proper marathon training, right? So, if you find yourself in a similar situation, breaking up your long run might be the answer. Your body is still getting almost the same stress. It's still working almost as hard, but there is the advantage that having that break actually lessens the stress on your body, at least some. And that will help you avoid injury. Sometimes it will simply be a vehicle that will help you get in more miles safely. Whether you're training for a specific race or not, don't feel like you have to do every long run in one chunk. You actually have several options, and you might want to mix it up the way you do it. In fact, there are infinite ways to break up the long run. Now, sometimes you can break up your long run without really even breaking it up. What I mean is that you actually do it all at once, but you do part of it alone, enjoying the alone time to clear your mind, and then join a friend or two or a group for the rest of the run. Of course, this doesn't reduce wear and tear on the body, but it does help the mental part. There have been times when I ran several miles alone, then listened to a book on my iPod for several miles, and then joined some friends for several more miles. In such runs, I never was stopped between segments for more than, say, 10 minutes. But that 20-miler somehow seemed more like 12. Now, some people are religious about their long runs. They wouldn't consider breaking them up. They don't even want to stop for water, so they always carry water with them, even on a training run. That's okay. But to those people, I would say the result might be far better if they did break it up. A last reason to break up a long run is because that way, when you get ready to do the second segment, you're fresher, which will mean you run it with better form, which again lessens the likelihood of injury and better prepares you to run your actual race with improved form. After all, the more miles you put in with good form, the more likely it is that you'll be able to sustain that form even when you're tired. So you'll run faster too. In the show notes, I'll put a link to an article titled, Should You Split Your Long Run? By Patrick McCann. It is an excellent article with several specific ideas for ways to split up your long run, and this one paragraph, which I'll read to you. Quote, aside from the increased risks, it's important to note that once you've hit the 2-hour mark on a long run, your body is pretty much functioning at total marathon capacity. You are fueling up as your glycogen stores are dwindling, and you are hydrating to offset water loss. Nothing else magical happens to you after your body has reached this point, other than needing the mental strength to continue on to the finish line. Close quotes. Again, that's from an article by Patrick McCann. It's titled, Should You Split Your Long Run? And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I recommend you click on that link and read the whole article because it's a very interesting and excellent discussion on this topic. Okay, that's all for today. If you enjoyed this Mojo for Running podcast, I would very much appreciate it if you would leave a review on the iTunes page. This helps to move the podcast to the top of its category. Also, if you have a question, please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and leave the question there. And if you haven't liked that page yet, I would love it if you would do that. Now, before I tell you today's quote, I want to explain how I chose this one. A few weeks ago, I was asked, what is your overarching goal for your runners? Now, the person asking this question was referring to the runners I coach locally. I said, for them to be happy. What I meant was that when people run, when they become runners, and when they achieve goals, it makes them happy. And when people train with a supportive group and coach, it makes them feel good. People need friends, and a critical element for people who train with a group, like my group, is that they spend lots of time with their friends. It has been proven that having close friends and family is a huge impact on mental health. And the more time you spend with those people, the greater the benefit. Something to think about. So here's today's quote, which comes from John Lennon. When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down, happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment. And I told them they didn't understand life. Again, that's John Lennon.